Boker Tov and Shavua Tov. Today's daf from Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah that begins Misha Yushtei Kitei Edim. So we went a little bit ahead yesterday. Misha Yushtei Kitei Edim Meidim Meidiototum. So here we have what appears to be a normal inyan of the concept of contradiction between Edim. These same discussions we have in terms of Dinei Mamonos. So there could be a difference between one kat of Edim, say somebody owes $100, and the other one saying, no, it was $200. Same thing could be true over here by the Zirut. An individual doesn't recall or claims, denies, he doesn't remember, make any kind of netter about the Zirus. And there's two sets of witnesses. One of them says, he not only made a netter, he was a Bekabalon himself, two Naziriot. And the other kat, meaning that there were a minimum of two witnesses in each one of these kitot, the other kat said, no, at that point, and there were clearly an agreement that it was the same circumstances, the same situation, the same place, and they say, well, we heard him say five nizirot, he was Bekabal on himself. So Beit Shammai says, well, this is like any other case of a contradiction of testimony. Nechlekah edut. There's nothing here at all that would be machai of this person, because since they disagree with each other, we don't know who's lying. So the din is that whenever we have edus mukheshet, we have to just ignore the edut. Beit Hillel omrim, but we don't really have to know, because whoever it is that is lying is still irrelevant to us, because somebody is at least telling the truth about two. Isn't that so? So, one, the group that said two, if they're lying, okay, so then the group that said five, but I mean, five includes two, does it not? If the five group is lying, so then there's still the ones that are telling us the truth about two. I mean, so normally, edut mukheshet means that we have absolutely no way of coming up with anything. But in this case, says Beit Hillel, the fact that there was a kashar, one of them is inaccurate and so on, is not a problem in the nature of testimony. It's a problem of knowing who it is we should rely on. And therefore, in this case, we don't need to know who we should rely on, because whoever we rely on is certainly testifying to two. And since Yesh Bechol Chamesh Shtayim, then obviously he needs to be at least a Nazir Shtayim, because he's got testimony that he did accept such a Nazirut. Now, this version of the Machlokes of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is not according to the Tana of the following Brisa, who believes that everyone would agree that there's nothing inherently unacceptable about witnesses where someone is saying something else, unless he specifically, each one specifically, points to the other one's not telling the truth. So in other words, if one would say, he said two and not five, and the other one says he said five and not two, okay, that's something else. Then you can't say included in one is the other. But this Braita says there's no one who believes, as our Mishnah claims, that we should completely disregard testimony when there's no real issue as far as our understanding of what we need to do is concerned. And therefore, the Braita says as follows. The Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, there is no such machlokas, and our Mishnah is mistaken. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al shtei kitei edim. There's no machlokas about two sets. Achat omeret shtayim v'achat omeret chamesh. Everybody agrees that in this case, there's no fundamental problem with the nature of edus, where the edim are not specifically contradicting each other. They're just testifying to different things. And therefore, since no matter who we believe, he's certainly going to be a Nazir for two sets of Naziriyot. So in this case, even Beit Shammai agrees. Amanech leku, you know what the Machlokas was about? It was about whether such statements are viewed as being in disagreement at all. So let's say you have a single set of two witnesses. One of the witnesses says two Naziriyot. Or, of course, we have the same issue when it comes to one of the witnesses, $200. One of the witnesses, five Naziriyot. One of the witnesses says, $500. So over there, Beit Shammai says, Nechleku Edutan. Since in that case, where you have this type of contradiction, you cannot put them together to equal testimony at all. There you have a problem. That's very understandable. It's not testimony. And you cannot say, well, but they're agreed about the fact that he owes $200, or we're agreed about the fact that he owes two Naziriyot. That's irrelevant. The fact that people agree about things doesn't interest us. What interests us is the din of Edim. We don't have Edim over here. And therefore, there we understand that Bechamay Omrim Nechlokai Dutan Ubeit Hillel Omrim Yesh Bechlocha Mishtaim. Even in this case, Beit Hillel says that we don't look at it as they're each one saying the other one is wrong. It's just that each is saying part, essentially, of the other part. So maybe one wasn't complete, but it's not as if they're literally contradicting each other, unless he would say two and not five. Omar Rav, Hakol Modim B'Moneh, everybody is agreed that in this case, we're talking about a single set of witnesses, and they are disagreeing in a way that have each one of them counting, that then even Beis Hillel says that they are basically, each one is saying that the other one is a liar. And in that case, there is no way to put them together. But we don't quite know what that means. Can you tell me what exactly you're referring to when you say that the witnesses were moneh? They were counting? In what sense were they counting? Do you mean to say that one of them was saying, I am counting very specifically, and I say chamesh, not shtayim. And the other one says, no, it was definitely two, not five. I mean, that is a direct hakrasha. I don't need anybody to tell me that in a case like that, Rav says his big chiddush. That what? That Beis Hillel says, you don't put together edus where each one is saying the other one is a liar? That's ridiculous. Obviously you don't. That is classic hakrasha. That can't be what he meant. So what do you mean when you say Beis Hillel agrees that we don't put them together when they were counting? I mean, assuming, therefore, that the case is that one of the witnesses says, well, you know, the guy said, I'm going to be a nazir. Yeah, make that two. And the other aide comes along and says, he said, make that three, make that four, make that five. So in other words, they're going through each one of the stages. So in that case, since they're talking about two completely different naziriyot, witness number one was talking about the number of naziris that he's calling nazirut number one and nazirut number two. And the other witness is talking about nazirut number three, nazirut number four, and so on. So in that case, you can't say, well, I mean, the bottom line is the number of nazirut is definitely a minimum of two, but that's not the point, because it's a different one. They gave a number to each one, right? Nazirut A subsection three. I mean, what in the world? How can you put together, well, what's the difference what you call it? So that's what Rav would be meaning. There is a difference of what you call it. And there he was saying that if there's a objective reference to it, you can't just take the numeration as being important. I don't understand, says Rav Chama, but that doesn't make sense. Why should he? Why should witness number two start from the beginning? First thing, witness number one said, this guy said, I want to be a nazir. Make that two. And then the other aide comes along and says, I heard him say, make that three. Make that four. What does that mean, that he doesn't hold make one and two? I mean, why should he bother mentioning when he just heard his friend say, make that two? He said, no, make that three. Make that four. So, I mean, that's not coming to number them. You could say that Ashta Yeshloma Chamirta Amar, that if in this case, the guy said the bigger chumrah. No, he said make it three, make it four. So he didn't bother starting from the beginning to say make it one, make it two. So obviously he's including that if there was four and five. And indeed, Amri b'Ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, they agreed with Rav Chama. And they said, it's not true what Rav said. And ein hakasha b'moneh, when you have two witnesses like this, each one of them being moneh, it's viewed as one continuing the statement of the other and not saying specifically this and no other. Hadran alach misha amar. Now we're in trouble. because even Rabbi Yaakov isn't here today. So the question is, will Rabbi Barnea be willing to be the elder statesman? The statesman?
You have to make a
Shechiyahu? I don't know. I think we should go for it. Adron Alach Misha Amar.
Bili Neder. Fondan de Helika Perek.
Not bad, Barnea. I don't know. I'm getting worried. We have to start calling him Saba Barnea. I'm really going to get worried.
I think he's got the job ready.
Okie doke. So, begins our wonderful parak as follows. Misha Amar Harini Nazir. We're going to talk about the idea of Hatfasa. Now, there's two very different types of Hatfasa. There's a Hatfasa that we saw before in the Dinim of Neder, in which if something is a Dover Hanadur, and you make something else like that Davar Hanadur, that is considered to be the equivalent of saying that this thing is Osir. So you're matfasid in a korban. In the case of a Nazir, if you have somebody who is a Nazir, and you would say, I want to be like him, so then you're accepting on yourself the Hatfasa in a state of Naziris, which is, as the Rambam explains, a type of neder. But what about if you didn't do that? What if you tried to attach your statement to someone else's statement rather than to someone else's state? That's a big difference. So suppose a guy says, I want to be a neder. And you say, and I. What does and I mean? I mean, you cannot call that a hatfasa in his state. He isn't that yet. You're trying to be matfis in a statement. I want to be a neder, and I want to be a neder. So I'm going to take his words, meaning want to be a neder, and attach them to my words, and I want to be a neder. Nazir, right? And that's a completely different idea. And over there, the idea is dependent on the nature of language, not on the nature of hatfasa. Now, when it comes to language, we've got an issue, and that is the concept of toch kedei dibur. Remember that there has to be an extended present in language. That's for sure, because otherwise a sentence doesn't make any sense, especially if you're German. I mean, you're going along with the sentence, it's already been 3 minutes long, and you haven't even gotten to the verb yet. Oh, my gosh. So you better have a very long, extended present in order to understand that sentence. Or if you listen to this guy who's saying the Daf Yomi sometimes, oh my gosh. I mean, by the time you get to the end of the sentence, you forgot what Masechet you're in. So that's the concept of extended presence in language. Now, the question is, what about the lingering echoes of that presence? In other words, we don't only create sentences. We create paragraphs. We create ideas, theses, and so on. And there's no way to do that unless the language is interacting back and forth with what was said and what is said and so on. What type of gap between a statement and another statement is considered to be a gap in which the echo of the original time is ended and now we've restarted? Well, we know what that concept is. It's called toch kedei dibur. So what is considered to be the time in which we're still expecting a statement to be expanded upon? If I'm going to add my words to somebody else's words, I can't do it after there's a gap. I mean, obviously, imagine a situation where, you know, the guy says, this is the old joke about the Indian, the guy meets he's introduced to this great chief, and he wants to know about Indian diets, you know, and he says to him, so, do you enjoy eggs? And the chief says, yes, I do. 23 years later, he's back at the same, and he meets the chief, and he says, how? And the chief says, scrambled. So we understand that is not considered to be a gap of language. That's why we find it funny. That's ridiculous. But therefore, we need to establish at what point the guy says, I want to be a neder. You know, I want to be a nazir. You hear him in the morning. And then you meet him in the afternoon, and you say, and I. What? And I, what's the matter with you? Don't you remember? I have no idea what you're talking about. So obviously there's got to be a connection to the language, not to the state, because I never said, I want to be in the same state as this guy. If you want to do that, you have nothing to do with language. That has to do with the dinim of atfasa. And whenever you say that, just like you're saying something is a korban. So you're saying, I want to be a nazir, or I want this piece of bread to be a korban. So therefore, in this case, we get into a bit of a complication because we now are not dealing with just the normal hatfasa, and we have to take into consideration how much time has elapsed. Now, this leads to the other question. That is, in series, we've had this issue in many, many different sukkahs, in a series of statements where one is connected to the other, does the concatenation of statements continue with each one being within toch kedei dibur of the next? Or does it all have to be toch kedei dibur of the initial statement that everybody is referring to? So that's going to get us into issues in this sugya, where you have Mishamar Reni Nazir. A guy hears, Mishamar Chaviro, Mishamar Va'ani. And then someone else says, Va'ani. So then, I mean, the question is, how long can this go on? Can a third person and a fourth person come along and each one say Vani because they're basically connecting themselves to the latest statement, and then the original statement is continued because when the second person said Vani and we applied the words Ani Hareini Nazir because the other person had the Hareini Nazir, so then we could keep doing that and we can concatenate as many as necessary. For some reason, the Mishnah ends at two. So it says, Shama Chaver Vamar Va'ani, then it says one more Va'ani. Kulam Naziri. Now, in that case, if the first person ended up going to a Chocham and being Matir, his Neder, so then the others are also going to be Mutter, because even though they only utilized his language, if his language was Hutar, it was as if his language was ineffective and didn't say anything, because the nature of Hatara is, well, he doesn't really mean that. That's a mistake. And it's a charata, and it was based on a misapprehension. So then, okay, so then your statement is no more powerful than the original statement. So if he goes along and gets a heter to his neder, the poor fellow who tried to do the same thing and took the shortcut of relying on his language is no longer a neder. And neither would the second one be. When I say second one, the second one in the chain, the third one, in other words. But if the last guy, Mr. Number 3, went to a Chacham, and he was Matir himself, so then, fine, he's Matir himself. Who cares? All right, that's his business. It doesn't have any implications backwards in time to the people who had said the Naziris before. This is not quite clear, because what happens if the middle guy, because that's going to be the issue, if the middle guy is the source of the third guy's Naziris, then we could have found out that if the middle guy was Mutter, the first guy remains Usser, but the third guy becomes Mutter. And the Mishnah didn't say that. And this is where we get our obvious question from. So what are we talking about? Are we talking about always the first guy being Mutter everyone and anybody else just being Mutter themselves? Or are we talking about a chain? So this we're going to be looking at in the Gemara. Suppose someone says Hareini Nazir, and somebody else says Pi Kepiv, Sa'ari Kesa'aro. Fine, okay, that is a standard Atvasa. And over there, Hareza Nazir, without all of these complications. Hareini Nazir V'shama Ishto V'amra Ani. Now how about if his wife hears, and she says V'ani, can he still be Mayfair her neder? Well, of course, why not? I mean, she basically made a standard Naziris. She used his language, but that in no way means that he can't be made for her neder. What's the difference if she used his language? It's just tricks. All typical feminine tricks. Aha! I said, and me, you can't be made for your own neder, so therefore you can't be... No. So, he can be made for her neder, and of course it has no impact whatsoever on his own neder, so then it would be made for Echela Vishalo Kayan. If she says, however, she was the one who said Hareini Nazira, and then he went ahead and he said Va'ani, so then he cannot be Mefer. Now, you'll recall that we discussed this issue earlier, and the reason, there's two possibilities over here. It could be because, since by being Mefer her neder, he's going to cancel his own, so therefore it's Lo Yachel Devaro. But that's only if the Baal is mi'akir oka. Remember yesterday's discussion? Does a Baal uproot a netter? Or does a Baal simply cancel miges gaias? He cuts the netter from this point on. If the Baal cuts the netter from this point on, so then in his cancellation of her netter, there'll be no impact on his hatfasa to her netter, because that still stands in time. So there, remember, we said, in the event that you understand that Baal Megas Gaias, so then the reason that he cannot be Mefer is because by his saying, Vani, he's essentially being Mekayim her netter. And he's saying, that's a great idea, Vani. Okay, now you change your mind. You want to be Mefer her netter, it's too late. Which is always the case. Once a Baal is Mekayim, he cannot be Mefer. Okay, so we have two possibilities of this as well, because we don't know whether the mocker of the problem over here is that the Baal is Me'aker, and therefore he will be basically sawing off the limb that he's sitting on in the tree, which he can't do, because then he'd be made for his own netter. Or whether it's because he was already Mekayim. Now, how about if he says, Hareini Nazir, and he looks at his wife and says, and you, honey bunch, what would you say? And she says, oh, absolutely, amen. It doesn't matter. He could still be made for et shala v'shalo kayam. He didn't say he wants her to be a netter. He wants to know what is her reaction to this. I keep saying netter. He's just keeping his thumb on her reaction. Like, you know, how bad, how crazy does she think he is, you know? So even if she says amen, he could still be made for et shala and still be shalo kayam. How about the other way around? The woman says, Hareini Nazira, and you, honey bunch? And he says, amen. So in saying amen, he is basically being Mekayim her netter. And eino yochol lafer in this case. Now, the question over here is the hatfasa in language. Is it limited by the total amount of time that has passed since the original person said, Hareini Nazir? And it would have to be Tokhi Deidibo. So Reish Lakish was sitting there in front of Reb Yehuda Nasiya, and he said, Hu shitfisu kulam betokhi deidibo. They all have to be within the Tokhi Deidibo of the first one. And how much is Tokhi Deidibo? Kedei she'ilat shalom of a Talmud l'Rab. So in other words, to say, Shalom Alecha Rabbi, would be the maximum. This is what Reish Lakish was saying. All right. Mordechai, it's all very nice, and we love you and love to hear you, and there you go. Okay. So, says Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, that's crazy, because two of Losh HaVakter HaVakha L'Talmina. If you're saying that the maximum amount of time is Shalom Alecha Rebbe, so then how in the world, if somebody has to say that, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and he was just about to say Va'ani, well, he can't say Va'ani if his Rebbe just showed up, right? So he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and then he says, Va'ani, it's too late. He's already missed his opportunity because he had to say, I mean, I thought the point of Shalom Alecha Rebbe would mean that that is the amount of time that still allows a response to a statement, and not that it is the gap, but rather that it has to be up to that point and no longer, but immediately at that point, you could still say Vani. And you're saying over here that they all have to be Tokhidei Dibur. And in fact, Tanya Namiyaki, it says in the Bright, like Reish Lakish apparently, because it says Misha Mahareini Nazir, and then he waited kidei dibur, and then he said vani. So then only the first guy is asur, who asur, and this chaveiro who waited too long is muter. V'kama kidei dibur kidei shi'ilat shalom talmid l'rav. So you see that in the event that he actually waited that amount of time and instantly said vani, said this on a stopwatch, it wouldn't help because he's already past the gap. So, that would be the end. Lema misayayalai. And we can even see that in our Mishnah. Because look, why do you think the Mishnah only says va'ani, va'ani twice? I'll tell you why. Because you can only say two times Vani within the time it takes three words. Shalom Alecha Rabbi. So therefore, if the third guy would say, now a fourth guy would say Va'ani, so then the whole thing would be kaput, because he could not add that Va'ani in the proper amount of time. So since it says in the Mishnah, Misha Amar Hareini Nazir, and someone else hears and says Va'ani, and then there's another Va'ani, so someone else that says Va'ani, and that's it. Now, how come that's it? I mean, we could get some real excitement over here, you know? We go boom, 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 Va'ani, Va'ani, Va'ani. It would be, just would have a little bit more rhythm to it. And the Mishnah doesn't give us the rhythm. So it must be that that's it. Because if Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was right, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, well, I mean, you could still back up that last Va'ani right up against the end of the gap. Because when it says mind the gap, so what is that? Not to fall into the gap or not to stumble while you're at the edge of the gap? I mean, that's what's happening over here. The guy's right at the edge of the gap. He can still say Va'ani. And that's what it should have said. So then if we want to tell us that Aloha could have mentioned yet another Va'ani, right? But it doesn't. So it must be that the fourth guy would not be a Nazir, which is exactly what Rish Lakish was saying, and is exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was saying. I don't understand. What do you want? The Tana should be sitting there being a rapper. I mean, Tana Kirucha, Lechasha Valeza, what's it supposed to be doing? Vani, 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 pum, 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 pum. I mean, it's very good to just give us the clarity that, I mean, I need to talk about the difference between the last guy and the first guy and the interdependency. So I needed to talk about the two Vanis and then talk about the last guy changing his mind or the first guy changing his mind, and everybody's going to be mutter if the first guy changes his mind. I had to say that, but I'm not a rapper, man. So you can figure out yourself whether there's three or four people in total over here. And then that would allow Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya to argue about what the meaning of the Mishnah is. Well, I mean, couldn't we just say one Vani if you want to just tell me the halacha and it's possible to be matfis in someone's language? I mean, what would be the point of saying two Vanis if you could have gotten along with one Vani, right? So you could have said one? No, you couldn't. Of course you could for the opening, of course. But then how would you continue? Mishum diktani seif. We were trying to talk about a case in which huta rishon, huta kulam, huta acharon, acharon mutar v'kulam asurim. Remember, that was the last next part of the Mishnah. Well, obviously, if you're talking about the others, there's got to be two others, so there must have been a middle guy. So therefore, in order to introduce our case, which we're going to be discussing, the middle guy, so I tell you, Vani, Vani, but that's why he needs to say Vani, Vani, but I'm not going to say things that are not actually necessary in the Mishnah itself. Now, is this absolutely clear? Because Iboilahu, when it says Vani, this second guy says Vani. Well, who was he referring to? Mr. 3, the second guy to add Va'ani. Was he talking about Va'ani to Mr. 2? Or was he talking about Va'ani back to Mr. 1? So, I mean, this whole question, you seem to be taking into consideration that the problem of Toch Kedei Dibur would be back Toch Kedei Dibur to the original statement. Now, is that true? When you say Va'ani, is Chad B'Chavrei Matfis, is each person being Matfis to the person who came directly before him? Or is everybody going back to the original guy? Well, Dilma Bekama Matvese. Because, I mean, what it was that we were assuming over here between Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and the whole discussion of Mishnah, the whole assumption may be wrong. I mean, obviously, if a guy would have said openly, you know, Joe was the first guy who makes the neder, and that the second guy is Reuven. So Reuven says, Joe, me too, you know, and me. And the other guy says, Reuven, me too. Okay, so then obviously he's being matfis in Reuven. But our only question over here is, when he didn't say anything, what's the meaning of what he said? It's quite clear that it's possible to chain this, right? If I like, and I can say, me too, because your statement has already been expanded by its hatvasat to the other person's statement. But if he didn't specifically mention a name or anything like that, so how do we view it? You're taking for granted that it's what's imperative in the Mishnah is that it should all be within Tokenei Dibur, the first guy. And that's why you got into this whole argument. Is it three words? Is it four words? Well, I mean, maybe that's irrelevant. Maybe each one is Chad B'Chavrei Matvis. Or are you right in assuming that Bekama Mitvisi, that everybody is going to be Matvis back in the original guy? And obviously, the Nafkamina will be, can we keep up this confrontation? So Lat Fusi Umezo. We could just continue chaining one to the next. Because Iamrit Chad B'Chavrei Matvis. So then, I don't care. You can have 1,000 people all on this same Va'ani Naziris. And that would be a really intelligent rap, more intelligent than most raps. You just keep saying Vani 1,000 times. Say, Yamir Chad B'Chavrei Matvis. So then Matvis in Vazni Lo Olam. You keep this up forever. But Yamir Bekama Matvis. So then you're stuck with the Toch Kedei Dibur issues, which is going to start from the first person statement. And then we get into the Machlokas about exactly what do we mean by Toch Kedei Dibur. Toch or not outside of. So what's the din? Well, I mean, isn't it clear from the Mishnah? I mean, and it says in the Mishnah, a reini nazir, v'shamar chaviro, v'yomar mitu. And then another one says, v'ani. It's the Mishnah. And then it stops. Why does it stop? It must stop because you can't go on any further because you got a problem of tokei dibur. And if you keep going, you're going to run out of time because you're going to be outside of the gap. And that's it. Patulo Mini doesn't say anything beyond that. So it must be that the Mishnah is limited. Shemaimina Bekamahu de Mitvase. It's got to be that everybody's going back to number one, because if Isaac Adai Tachad Bechavri Mitvase, that this is actually chaining, so we could have done a lot of Anis. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered how many Anis we saw. We should have mentioned a number of different Anis after, and that way we would have understood that each one is Matvase in the next guy, next to him. Well, not necessarily. I mean, it could well be that the Tana of the... Look, obviously, Rebbe understands perfectly well that the Mishnah is leaving you hanging and you're not going to get the information that you need. But we know that that's part of what a Mishnah does on purpose. So that you could either excuse the fact that it only said two anis because that's all you could say, or you could say, well, the Tana expected you to be intelligent enough to know that this is a confrontation, so what do you want him to do? Sit here and rap for an hour? Obviously, he says you too, and then you use your brains. That's the point. So Tanaki Rucho Rikshavaleza, so we don't really know. But if that's the case, I mean, if he just wants us to understand that he's not being ruchaling, so then he could just say, one, Vani, to teach me the din of Hatfasa, and then you would know what the, however you're going to figure out the halacha about the fourth guy and the fifth guy, you would figure out the halacha about the third guy, so then Lishamin on Kulon. Then I would know that if one person can be matfis to your language, so can as many people as you want if you hold of a chain, or so can one other guy if you don't hold of a chain, or can two other guys if you hold of Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. I mean, you know, whatever Jitas will fit into the Mishnah. If you're telling me that Rebbe just wants to keep things wide open, so keep it wide open. No, because, as we said before, since the Mishnah says at the end, Hutar Harishon, Hutar Kulan, Hutar Achron, Achron, Mutar V'Kulam Asurin. So if there is a Kulam, then there's got to be somebody else. If there's the first one and the last one, there's got to be a middle one, doesn't there? Then it's not just the first one and the last one. So Mishumachi Katoni Vani Vani to set it up. Well, how about the very fact that it never mentions what happens with the middle one? Tashma, Hutar Harishon, Hutar Kulam. So what does it say over there? If the first guy is Matir himself, everyone else is Mutter. So doesn't that imply that the only time that others are going to be Mutter based on one person's Heter is if it's the first one who did the Heter? So Rishon Hu Deshoy. And that would mean that everybody's dependent on the first guy. Because otherwise, the Mishnah could have told me a Chiddush that if the middle guy would be Matir himself, then the last guy would also have been Mutter. But it doesn't say that. It specifically leaves out Emtsoi. If the middle person went and was Shoyal to a Chacham, wouldn't make any difference on anybody else. Only Mr. Number One is the one that's going to make a difference on anybody else. So Shema Amina Bekama Matvisen, if that's the case, then we have no choice but to say that everybody's dependent in Number One. I don't know. I mean, I could say that, look, Liolam Chad B'chavri Matvis, and it would be true about the middle guy, but I did buy Misli Hutra Kulan. I mean, we want to talk about a case where one person's Hatara will be Matir everyone. You can't do that by the middle guy's Hatara. We'd have to talk it out. That if the middle guy was Matir, so the number, the last guy would be Mutter, but the first guy wouldn't be Mutter. So we just point out, because he taught Emtsoi, then it would always be number one. He wouldn't become Mutter just because the Emtsoi was. So Mishumachi Katani Rishon, because we just want to make things as quick as possible, as clear as possible. Anyone that was Matir that others were dependent on becomes Mutter. So far, I don't see any kind of raya. I don't know how far we should go on this. I mean, I just feel it's sort of smack bang in the middle of the argument. I don't know exactly where one can stop. It's all one piece after the other, but then I'm a bad boy again. Then I get into big trouble messing everything up. So, okay, maybe, I don't know. I definitely have a big type, but I just finished this up here. Can we do a little bit more, you think? Or yeah, we can sort of always go over it outside tomorrow. So. All right. So, Lema Misayale. But we can have Araya to Reish Lakish. Sorry, where are we up? Oh, sorry. So, where did I get up to now? I lost my place. Yeah. Toshma. Hutar ha'acharon. Ha'achron mutar. V'kulam asurim. So it's mashma that delo ika achrina batre. That the whole point over here is that if number, the very last one, became mutter, so then we say only he is mutter. So that one person can be matir without having any impact on anybody else. Okay? That's what we're trying to indicate. Number one, he can have an impact on everybody, but number three, the last guy, can't have impact on anyone. So that's because there's nobody to follow. But the implication would be that if the middle person did something, and therefore there was somebody after him, namely number three, so Emtsai, Diikachrina Batre, would be Mishtarya. And therefore, since the Mishnah is constrained to give these two examples of one person who will affect everyone, and another person who will affect no one but himself, it's mashma that there is a third person, namely the Emtsai, who would affect not only himself, but also the one after him, which would show that this is a chain rather than going back to the first guy. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, because the Olam Emelecha Bekama Mitvasina could still claim they all go back to the first one. And when it says over here the last one, what makes you think the last one is number three? The last one just means the person who's not the first one. So when it says over here, Acharon, well, it doesn't mean necessarily the last one. It could be referring to anyone after the first one. It would mean even the Emtsai, a later one, any later one. And the reason it uses that terminology is because it's contrasting it to the first one. So since it says Rishon, Rishon in the sense of the prime statement, and that's the Rishon. So because then it says the Acharon, meaning the person that is not the prime. So, nope, no raya. Okay, but you know, and I know, and we remember the brisa that we've talked about before. Come on, it's all very nice to hide this, but it's got to come out eventually. Toshma, the Tanya Bahedya, remember the brisa that says, Hutar harishon hutru kulam, hutar acharon acharon mutar v'kulam asurin, and the brisa continues to say beferish, Hutara Emtsai, if the middle guy becomes mutter by going to a chacham, so then from that point downwards in the chain, Heimenu v'lamata mutar, Heimenu v'lamala asur. Now it's clear, man. So there's obviously each one is now connecting his statement to the immediate prior statement, not going back to the original guy, in which case the chain can go on forever. So Shmamin Achad Bechavrei Matvis, Shmamin, you're absolutely correct. This means that our entire approach, the original discussion of the Mishnah between Reish Lakish and Reb Yehuda Nasiya, now that we see this Braita, is a mistake. And in fact, the Mishnah is talking about a concantation rather than hatfasa only in the original guy. Happy days are here again.